Hello, greetings. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Confetti with me, your host for the next hour. My name is Debbie Tobias. Happy Friday or happy Saturday, depending on where you are. For me, today is Friday, May 6, 2011, and I'm broadcasting live from the outskirts of the Washington, D.C. metro area to bring you information on starting and growing a wedding planning business of your very own. For tons of free resources and content about planning weddings for a living, please visit my website, weddingsforaliving.com. This show is also completely interactive, so that means if you have questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to call in live by dialing 626-213-5678. And you can also type your questions and your comments in the chat room if you're online. If you are calling in and you also have access to the chat room, you can send me a private message with your name and phone number, and that way I can announce you properly. Okay? So I'm so glad you're here on a Friday evening or Saturday morning, depending on where you are. This is a very special edition of Confetti because those of you that listen on a regular basis know that we normally broadcast this on a Tuesday. But every now and then I do something radical, and that's about as radical as I get, broadcasting on a Friday instead of a Tuesday. Ooh, right? So, and the reason for that is because I have a very special guest with us here today. Now, before I do that, let me just preface this by saying this is the first time that we've done a show live with a co-host. So there may be a few technical glitches, but stick with us. I promise you it'll be worth it. And tonight I'm featuring a very special co-host, and her name is Rebecca Price. And Rebecca is the founder of WeddingAsk, the retro and vintage wedding planning specialist. A veteran of Harrods Press Office and Virgin Atlantic Airways, Rebecca uses contemporary event planning methods to create weddings with a fabulous era chic edge. Rebecca counts amongst her industry mentors the renowned event planner Anna Cruz from the hit TV show Whose Wedding Is It Anyway? And Joseph Todd from Joseph Todd Events in New York. So quite a background there. And I'm going to bring, oh, I see Rebecca on the line now. Isn't it great when a plan comes together? Let me see if I can get her to come on the line. 1 second. Oh, Rebecca, I introduced you. So we all know who you are. And tell us, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from beautiful Brisbane in Australia. So it's just gone 10 past 11 in the morning here, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful sunny day.
Wonderful. I mean, where I am here in D.C., the weather hasn't been too bad. I mean, it's what time is it now? 9:11 p.m., so we've no sun to speak of, but we're having good weather. You said beautiful weather, so is that typical for this time of year in Australia, right?
It is, yes. We're just coming into winter now, and the winters in Australia are beautiful. They're like English summers, just clear and crisp days, not a cloud in the sky for months on end. It's beautiful in the winter.
Mm. Wonderful. Doesn't it feel strange, guys, over here to hear it say winter in May? That's wild. Okay. So, Rebecca, I told everyone about your company, and your company name, remind everyone, please, is?
It's WeddingAsk.
WeddingAsk. Wonderful. So tell us, how did you get started in the wedding planning industry?
Well, for years, the industry is something that I've always been excited by, but life sort of took me in other directions. But it's always been in the back of my mind. And about 5 years ago, I emigrated over here to Australia from London with the family. And I think moving to a different country gives you a different perspective on everything and sort of gave me the impetus to start, you know, following my dream and what I really wanted to do in life. And that was about 4 years ago, sort of the seed of the idea started to form. But I had a bit of a false start with a wedding planning course that I got part of the way through, and it didn't really work out. So that was a bit difficult because I'd been looking forward to sort of starting on the path, and then I had a bit of a problem. But I then found the Wedding Planning Association of Australia, and they've been fantastic. My tutor there, Paula, was fabulous. She was very supporting and encouraging, and still is actually. And so I did the course with her, but I found the course wasn't just about how to plan a wedding. It was about how to run a wedding planning business. which was fantastic,
right,
and gave me a really good start.
Yeah, that's a big deal, isn't it? I think I found there are so many different. I know there are quite a few of you on in the chat room. I mean, if any of you have taken any of these wedding planning courses out there, I'd be very interested to know which ones you've taken and if you've got any, what your feeling was about that. But I found there are a lot of courses that will teach you how to plan a wedding, but as Rebecca states, the hard part, not necessarily the hard part, but the more challenging part is running a business. And I haven't, in my experience, Debbie, haven't found too many courses that really spent a lot of time in that area.
Mm-hmm. It was, and that was, in fact, the only course I found that actually taught at that time, you know, taught the business of wedding planning. So I went through that course, and towards the end of the course, my partner, Nick, he'd also been, you know, popping in and out to see what I was doing, and he actually volunteered to train as a celebrant. So that's really exciting. So, you know, the hope is eventually that we can, you know, both work together in the business full time, which will be fantastic. That would be great.
Sorry, Debbie.
I was just going to finish by saying that, you know, all this came together and I finished my course and Nick did his training, and that was probably 2 years ago. But it wasn't the right time. You know, I know you're always talking about it being the right time to start your business. And it just wasn't for us because we wanted to wait until we were permanent residents. So that's what we did. So I sort of used that time to learn and to listen to endless podcasts and read endless articles about everything I could find. You know, I listened to your shows and I listened to marketing podcasts and really just found out a bit more about the business of being in business, and then just waited until we could launch, and that was March, just gone.
Wow, that's great. That's amazing. So many of us plan, and we're always waiting for the ideal time, and I know this firsthand, and it just never seems to be the perfect time, right, Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
It's never ideal. At some point, you just got to say, okay, we're going to do this now.
Mm. Absolutely. And
So you're not operating your business full time right now?
I'm not. No. I'm part time at the moment because I still have a full time position. But I'm hoping by the end of the year to move into the business full time. That's the plan.
Wonderful. And how did you come up with the specialty that you are focusing on right now? What made you take the retro vintage angle for your business?
It's funny, I stumbled upon it by accident, really. There was, when I did the course with the Wedding Planning Association of Australia, there was, one of the assignments was to do a draft website, was to put one together. So I started doing that, and obviously I had to search for images for the website. And before I sent it off for marking, I just sent the link to a few friends and said, look, you know, this is what I'm thinking of doing. Just what do you think? And it was interesting because one of my friends emailed back and she said to me, it's fabulous. She said, but you should make it obvious to people that you also do traditional weddings. And I thought, oh. And what had been happening is I'd been drawn to those sort of real retro vintage images and I'd used them throughout the site without realizing. And I thought, okay. So at first I thought, well, what on earth does she mean, traditional weddings? And when I spoke to her, she said, but it looks like, you know, just vintage that you're doing. And I said, oh, am I? Is that what I'm doing? And once I sat and looked at it again, I thought, yeah, it is. You know, that's what really excites me. You know, those are the images and the type of clients that I'm drawn to. And it was also a podcast of yours I listened to that talked about, was it the Seven Truths podcast?
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and I listened to that and, you know, you were talking about a specialty and you sort of sit and think about it and I sort of panicked for a bit thinking, you know, I don't know which way to go, I don't know what to do. And then I remembered, you know, how I'd put my draft website together and the sort of images that I'd been drawn to. So I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to go for, and it's been great. It was turns out to be a really good decision.
Wonderful. I love that. So it wasn't really, because I thought maybe that this was something you always had in the back of your mind, yeah, vintage weddings, but it sort of seems like you kind of stumbled on it. It sort of just came full circle, and there it was.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it was, as I say, it was sort of somebody else pointing it out to me that made me think, oh, yes, that is what I love. And then when I started thinking about, you know, doing things other than vintage or retro weddings, it just didn't sit right. It just didn't, it wasn't okay. Something that particularly excited me, so.
Okay. I think that's fantastic. And I mean, I speak to people all the time about specializing, and not just in this wedding industry, and I always, the example I always come up with is when you go to the doctor, and you know, you have the family practitioner or the GP, and when something ails you in a particular area of your body, you want to see a specialist, and that makes perfect sense. And to me, I don't see why you wouldn't want to do that in business. It means that you want, and you can attest to this, Rebecca. I think once you narrow down that specialty, everything else seems to become a little bit easier. You know who your target client is. You know where to market and where to stay away from, right?
Definitely. Absolutely. And you draw people to you without realizing. And without, you know, you obviously reach out to people throughout the course of your business life, but I've had people reaching out to me that have just seen my website or heard one of your podcasts or, you know, people that I would never have had contact with otherwise, and they've said, you know, this is what I love. You know, I've had photographers contact me and say, you know, I love this type of photography, you know, we should get together, and it's just amazing by narrowing your niche how much wider your business becomes, almost. I know it sounds strange,
wow.
But
that's yeah, it sounds now. Counterintuitive, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. Mm. And it sticks in people's minds. I think wedding planning is just an interesting industry anyway, but, you know, I'm biased, right? But I think when you're able to do something when you're able to specialize, you stick out, and that's what you want. Because especially if you're in an area where there are a lot of wedding planners, and in a lot of the metropolitan areas in this country, I know there are an abundance of wedding planners. I still think there's plenty of work for all of us. But when you specialize, you stand out, and people remember that. Oh, yeah, Rebecca Price, she does the vintage weddings. That's right. So, I mean, for someone who doesn't want that wedding, that's fine. But for someone who kind of heads in that direction, it makes perfect sense. So for those of you who are sort of on the fence about specializing, I just want you to understand it has the opposite effect. It doesn't slow you down with regard to clients and business and vendors and things like that. People are drawn to you if they like your style, and if you are planning weddings for a living or doing anything that's your passion for a living, it should be fun and it should be something that you enjoy. So why not, you know, focus in the area that you're passionate about? Mm-hmm. I think that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. So if any of you have questions, suggestions or comments for Rebecca, please enter them in the chat room, or you can call in. The number is 626-213-5678. And if you press the number 1 on the keypad, then I'll know you'll have a question. I can bring you live on the air. Okay? All right, Rebecca, I did. I wanted to ask you another question before I jumped into one of the listener questions, and that is, what aspect of being the owner of a wedding planning business do you think is the most overlooked?
I would say, from my point of view, there's two things. The first we've covered, you know, how important it is to specialize. But I really think the second part of it is finding the right support. It's been really important to me, obviously, to have the support of my family and friends. But I've also been proactive about seeking out mentors in the industry. And it was surprisingly, say, easy, you know, to approach those mentors and to say, look, you know, I haven't done this before, but, you know, I really want to do it well, and this is what I want to do. And I probably contacted about 25 or 30 wedding planners, maybe, and out of that, 2 from the States and 1 from over here in Australia said, yeah, I'd love to, you know, anything that I can help you with. And having that support has been invaluable, you know, because we all have, I guess, whatever job you do, everyone has wobbly days where you think, right. You know, this sounded great, but I don't know what I've got myself into, or, you know, you're just not having, just not feeling very confident, you know, I can just contact one of them and go, you know, I've been thinking about doing this or thinking about doing that, you know, what do you think? And just to get that support on the end of a phone or on the email has been fantastic, and it's really helped to push the business forward as well. You know, they've just been invaluable. So I think, you know, support is something that's vital. I know it is for me, definitely.
Okay, and that's a very good point. And I hear from many of you guys out there that say that, you know, you're trying to shadow your other wedding planners in your area. And, Rebecca, you said you reached out to about 25 different people. Now, was your goal really – now, clearly you're in Australia. You said you got a response from one person in Australia, but two from over here. So when you're saying you're looking for support, what exactly was it that you were hoping for when you said you were looking for support? What does that mean?
I think it was really looking to someone who had been there and done that, and somebody that could give me a reality check, I guess. You know, because I think it's very easy in the early stages of your business to go, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then, you know, I'm going to do this, and have these fantastic ideas. But I think it really helps to ground you, you know, when you contact someone who's been doing it for years and say, you know, what do you think of this? Or, you know, I've got this situation. How should I deal with that? It's just having someone to bounce ideas off that really knows what they're talking about, I think. So it was more that that advice and mentorship I was looking for rather than to shadow somebody. Because that just, I think in this area, that just wasn't going to happen for me. It wasn't going to be possible. So I just sort of found another way of getting that support, I guess.
Okay. And how did you pick these people that you contacted? I mean, were these people that you admired or watching TV or just hearing about celebrity wedding clients? How did you pick who you would contact?
I guess it was a combination of all that. I mean, obviously, I'm a completely devoted fan of Whose Wedding Is It Anyway? So I contacted all of the planners that I'd seen and that I liked on there. And for the other two, I just did some research on the net and looked in forums and chat rooms and just to see whose name came up a lot. And that's how I found Joseph Todd in New York. And he's not, you know, he's very high end. He's a very high end planner, but he's not, you know, a Whose Wedding Is It Anyway planner. But it's good to get his perspective. You know, because he's in New York, you know, he's right in the center of things. He's on, you know, his office is on Broadway. So to get his perspective has been great. And my other mentor, Christy from Imbue Weddings, she's here in Australia on the Gold Coast. And when I contacted her, she'd not long started her business. And to her credit, she was very honest with me and said, look, I'm happy to give you advice, but I've only just not long started myself. This is quite a while ago. So I had another perspective. You know, I had someone to talk to who had been where I was not long before me. So I think the thing is just to ask. People can only say no. And I think if you're polite and respectful of their time, then people are very generous in this industry, I think.
Okay. And that's an interesting, that is an interesting angle because, as I said, when I read the emails and get the phone calls, it's usually I'm not hearing that. And I think it's because maybe the approach is a little different. And I think the folks that I'm talking to are looking for someone to shadow. So, guys, you know, this is some really great information. If you really want some guidance out there, don't be afraid to reach out to people that you're seeing in the media. And as Rebecca says, the worst thing that they can tell you is no. So, I mean, when you're trying to contact the planner up the street to shadow her, you are, in her mind, a threat. She doesn't want to spend her time giving you all of her secrets and industry inside information so that you can turn around and run your own wedding business. So it's understandable that you're not going to get the welcome mat put out there for you. But contacting someone who, I guess, is beyond that and maybe isn't in your backyard, you don't physically have to be there, but they can provide that support to you with regard to other aspects of your business. And as Rebecca says, they've been there, they've done that, and figured out what works. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to work for you, but it doesn't hurt. And, I mean, I think a lot of these folks out there are willing to share information. I know I'm a big sharer, and there are people out there that do that. So don't be disheartened. Rebecca said she contacted 25 people, and right now there are three. Is that correct? Right? That's right, right? Three people that responded to you? So, I mean, you know, it wasn't a great response, but three people, I think that's awesome. So, you know, don't give up. Don't, you know, and I always say, you know, go to the vendors. If you want local help, you want that local support, talk to your vendors because you need to contact them anyway. But if you're looking for a mentor who is a wedding planner, look outside of your backyard, for lack of a better term. And don't be afraid to contact the people that you're seeing on TV, reading about in the magazines, hearing about on the news. And just be honest and tell them what kind of help you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And as Rebecca says, be respectful of their time. Don't expect them to sit down on the phone with you for an hour and a half and explain everything, but just every now and then. And I'm not quite sure how you're communicating with them, Rebecca, but I'm sure it's not hours-long conversations on a regular basis, right?
No, it's just sort of snatches of time here and there, really. And that's all it needs to be, because more often than not, it's a specific question that I've got and they'll answer it for me. Or it's useful when you're setting up your website as well. When I was trying to choose my logo, I had two on the short list and I sent those to my mentors and said, what do you think? I can't decide. You know, I've looked at it for so long. What do you guys think? And, you know, they emailed me back, and it's good. It's just good to get an outside perspective. And it's a good boost for you, too, especially when you're new to the industry, I found.
Excellent. That makes sense. So I hope you guys are getting that, and I think this is really great, helpful information. Don't be afraid to jump out there. In this industry, we're supposed to be willing to speak to strangers, right? So don't be afraid to reach out to someone to get the help and ask for help. Rebecca, as I was mentioning when we were going through, I'm trying to make it a group thing. It was me with my technical hitches. One of the questions that I was reading came from a young lady who was basically asking how did she obtain her first client, and I mentioned that the information that she provided really wasn't, it was hard for me to answer the question, and I'll read the question again. It's from Donna, and her question is, I am one of those people who started a wedding planning business but has never planned a wedding. I have, however, planned many other events and have been head of the food and events department. I've helped with three weddings but never planned a full wedding. How do I obtain my first client? And my response, what I was beginning to say was, it was difficult for me to answer because I didn't really have a whole lot of information. And when you haven't planned a wedding, when you haven't done one from beginning to end, it's not a bad thing, but it's kind of awkward. It can be an awkward situation where your client, it's hard for someone to want to pay you your fee if you have never done what it is that they're paying you to do, if that makes sense. Doesn't mean it can't be done, but I think it's good to be able, she's at least got wedding experience, she's head of an events department, so she knows events inside out, but weddings can be a little different. So my response, Rebecca, was just to sort of probe a little bit more. I didn't know if you had any feedback in response to that question. What do you think?
Obviously, I can only say from my perspective, but obviously, I think it all comes back to specialising again. I know we keep saying it, but as soon as you specialise, it helps you create that buzz around what you do. And I think it's creating that buzz, but with integrity, so that, you know, you can follow through. If somebody's attracted to you because of that, you know, you can follow through and you do what you say you'll do. I think these days with, you know, blogs and Twitter and Facebook, and networking, it's relatively straightforward to create that buzz around what you do. And I think, as I said, I think that attracts people to you as well.
Absolutely.
And even if it's vendors, you know, which is great, if it's vendors you're attracting, you know, I find that they'll then, you know, refer you through to their clients once they get to know you and like you and trust you. And I think it's much harder to create that buzz if you don't have a specialty, you know,
right.
that you can create it around. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it makes perfect sense to me. And, guys, I know you're out there. If you have a comment, please, I want to hear what it is that you have to say or if you disagree. But almost always when I get questions like this, it comes back to the same thing. I say specialize, and it's for the exact same reasons that Rebecca has just been sharing with us. It's just hard for someone to pick you out of the crowd when you're doing what everybody else is doing. There has to be something about you that attracts me to you. It's like dating, right? There has to be something there. There has to be a pull. So when Donna says that, you know, she hasn't actually planned a wedding, then the fallback for her maybe if she specializes, then it's not so much of a big deal to your prospect when you haven't maybe planned a wedding from beginning to end. But because you're on the same wavelength, if you're specializing, then I think it becomes easier for them to want to talk to you at least. But if you have never planned a wedding, if you don't really have a specialty, and you know, I'm meeting you and you're saying I can plan your wedding for you, as a client, I've got to say, well, what's in it for me? Why would I do that? Why would I go that route? If you're a specialist now, I may be willing to overlook some of those other things because just by you having that niche, it lets me know that you're focused on an area that I can relate to, if that makes sense. So a lot of times it comes back to a specialty, and I know a lot of you think that by specializing it's going to limit you. Please, please believe me, it will not. It will have the opposite effect. I mean, unless your niche is so narrow that it's going to be hard to find someone, like you're only planning weddings for, I was going to come up with something ridiculous, which usually isn't hard for me to do, and now I can't. But, you know, so long as there's enough people to support that business, if there are enough people who are interested in that niche and that specialty, I think that's going to be the answer in a lot of instances. So, you know, think back to what it is, what drives you, what you're passionate about, the things that you like to do during your downtime, because a lot of times you can connect that to your wedding planning business. Not all the time, but a lot of times. There's some aspect within there that can make it work for you. I know what I knew from when I started planning weddings, I like to teach, I like to share. And I mentioned this in one of the other shows. I went back to one of my notes and I was like, I wrote this such a long time ago. I knew I wanted to share the information and connect people. I didn't know how to do that. So although I'm not planning as many weddings now, I'm still able to make that connection and I enjoy that. I am passionate about that. I really, really enjoy doing that. So I, you know, implore you to try and do some of the to do the same thing within your life and within your business, okay? I see a question. It's from Kim, right? Rebecca says, do you have advice or tips on how to launch your business, Rebecca? So that's from, it's from Kim, I think.
Hi,
Kim, right?
Hi, Kim. Thank you for your question. From listening to all I was saying earlier in the downtime before I started my business, I was listening to endless podcasts, you know, driving to and from work, even in the bath, everywhere. I was listening to podcasts. Mm-hmm. And one of the great pieces of advice I heard, which has always stayed with me, and I can't even remember what podcast it was I heard it on, but when you're launching your business, this guy said, the thing that he lives by is a phrase that goes, be like water. And when I heard it, I thought, be like water. What on earth does that mean? And basically what he's saying is, don't let anything stop you. You know, water will come up against mm-hmm. a boundary, and it will go round it, it'll go through it, it'll go up, it'll go down, and it won't be stopped. And I think if you keep that in your head, and no matter what happens, you know, if you have one of those wobbly days or, you know, you have something that knocks your confidence, that always comes into my head, be like water and just keep going. I think that's one of the things right. that's helped me. But the other more practical thing that's helped is definitely Facebook, you know, learning how to use Facebook for a start, which is a bit of a trial because I'm like you, I hadn't really used it, so I had a big learning curve. And I'm still not 100% there yet. But, yeah, blogs and from Facebook have really helped me launch the business. Those were the main things I used when we actually launched.
Oh, great. Wow, and Facebook costs what? Nothing but time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing how things have changed the last few years. So, and Kiki, Weddings by Kiki has a similar question. How do you market to your vintage niche? She's asking. Mm. Well, I guess it's not. Yeah, marketing, launching, because it's all, I guess it's that ties in.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Do
you think anything special or anything different?
No, not particularly. As in, still use the same vehicles, you know, blogs and Twitter and Facebook and things like that. That's where my main marketing goes on at the moment. But I think where the marketing to that niche comes in is knowing what to put on the blog and knowing what my target market wants to hear, knowing the sort of valuable information that I can give them. For instance, on the blog a while ago, I posted an article about having your wedding filmed in Super 8 video, which is beautiful for vintage weddings. There's a beautiful wedding up there that I found that was filmed on Super 8 that was in Paris, and it was just, I just fell in love with it. But that's how I market to that niche. I put myself in their position as best I can because I love vintage and I love retro, and I think, what would I want to know? What would I want to see? You know, if I was sat at work and I wanted to drift off and I, you know, clicked on a blog, what would take me someplace else? What would help me to dream and, you know, disappear? And I guess that's how I market to them.
Okay. It makes perfect sense. Again, it comes down to that specialty, guys. I know you're saying, you've got to be saying, why doesn't she shut up about that? But once you zone in, it becomes so much clearer because you're not having to worry about this area and that area. Because I meet people who are starting their wedding business and they want to market, and I ask them, you know, who are you targeting? And the response is, well, brides in my area. But it's got to be narrower than that. It cannot be every bride in your area. There has to be a little group within there that just makes perfect sense to you, that you can click and connect with. Because once you find that group, then you know where you've got to stay away from and where you've got to focus. And once you focus, everything becomes less expensive because you're not wasting money anymore. You know, there's probably a better chance of finding my group of people right here. You know what I mean? So I've been harping on about it for years now, but I'm telling you, once you specialize, it becomes easier for you. And Rebecca can attest to this next statement, because I know, Rebecca, you have a press background. The media is more drawn to you when there's something different about what you're doing, and that's what a specialty does. It makes you different from everyone else. And once the media finds you, there's a lot less time involved on your end, because they're coming to you now as opposed to you having to seek them out. Would you agree, Rebecca?
Definitely. I just think when you do specialize, it's, you know, as I was saying before, and as you said, because people are drawn to you, it saves you time and it helps your budget, definitely, because you're putting your budget in the right place. And you find that once the ball starts rolling, it's almost self-generating. You know, people become attracted to you, and you almost don't have time to go out there and reach out to people that you'd planned to do, you know, because you're having so much coming into you, because people start to see you as, I guess, the go-to person, particularly if there's not many people in your niche.
Right.
And, you know, you're having the right people reaching out to you. You're not having to sort of filter them and work out if it's going to be, you know, a beneficial alliance for both of you. You kind of already know it is going to be beneficial.
Yeah. That's a great point. I used to hate that when I started my business. I would get so excited because as a member of the Association of Bridal Consultants here in the U.S., there's certain levels of members, you can get leads from brides based on your zip code. I'm not sure if that's still happening. I believe it is. And I would get these leads, and it was so exciting. But without a specialty, your name is going on the list of everybody else's who's in your zip code. And a few times you speak to someone, and then you'd realize, you get all excited, and then as you continue with the conversation, you realize, well, this really isn't the bride that probably wants to do business with me, or vice versa. And by having a specialty, you kind of weed that out and you don't have to go through so much. Doesn't mean that everybody that comes to you, you're definitely going to, you know, book and do business with, because there still has to be chemistry. But the chances are much more likely, because that's already been figured out. You've filtered out all of the other, I'm going to say nonsense. You filter that out, because that's not for you and you're not for them. And that's fine. You just become the big enchilada in your area. One of the questions that I got earlier today, Rebecca, was from someone who was curious about the name Wedding Ask, and she asked, do you often get people mispronouncing her business name?
It's funny you should bring that up, because I tested it out on a few people, and testing it out on friends and family is great, but I think because they love you and want the best for you, they go, yeah, that's great, sounds fantastic. And I was really happy with it. And the first person that I heard say it to me was the postman, because he was delivering a parcel. And he looked at me all expectantly, and I said, yes. And he said, Rebecca Price? And I said, yes. And he said, Wedding Skew? And it just dashed all my dreams. I just said, oh, yeah, no, Wedding Esque. But, yeah, that's fine, that's me. And I thought, oh, what have I done? But I guess it stands out as well because of that, you know. And I'm always having to spell it, you know, I have to say wedding, E-S-Q-U-E. But I guess it's different, and I've tried on lots of different names, and that was the one that I kept coming back to. So yes, people do mispronounce it.
Oh, okay. Because I mentioned my daughter was one of them, because she said, oh, that's Wedding's Q. I said, no, it's Wedding S. She said, Ma, come on, it's Wedding's Q. I said, okay. And then when I spoke to Rebecca, she confirmed, yes. So that can be a tricky one. And I'll, you know, when you're coming up with a name for your business, which is actually a really fun process, you have to be wary of that. But, you know, you can make it work in your favor, as Rebecca has done. But, you know, when you're securing a domain as a sidebar, because that's almost, you have to do that now, right? It's not just coming up with a business name, but making sure you can get that business name .com. Or in Rebecca's instance, .com.au for being in Australia. But if people are misspelling your name and you're noticing your business name and you're noticing that they're misspelling it and consistently misspelling it, it's not a bad idea to secure the domain names of the misspelling. Weddingsforaliving.com is my site, and I'm saying this over the air, someone's probably going to grab that and I'm going to be really mad, but I really should also secure weddings and the number 4aliving.com, because sometimes people assume that that's what it is. So, and also wedding without the S for a living, and I want to say that somebody already picked that up. So those are the things that you also have to think about too when you're securing your domain name, your mydomain.com. And .com here in the U.S. is usually the better route to go. If you can't get the .com, then there's .net. I know there's .biz and things like that. But if you can get the .com, that's always good. But if you have a name that seems to be tricky or people are misspelling, that is not a bad idea if you can to secure the .com with the misspelling. And just what you do is, you, depending on who you have registered your name with, they can just redirect that so that it just forwards to your website. So that's just something to think about. Okay? All right. Any questions from anyone? I'm checking the switchboard, and I see there are people on the phone. I don't see any hands up. Any comments in the chat room from anyone? Okay. Let's see. Rebecca, I had another question. I'm going to read out loud real quick, and then I'm going to – oh, actually, you know what? I didn't realize the time. I did have some other questions for Rebecca. So if that's okay, guys, I'm going to go ahead and just ask Rebecca some more questions. And, of course, a week from next Tuesday, we'll have our regular grab back session. But I wanted to know, where do you see Wedding Esque heading in the next year or two? What do you have in mind?
There are a couple of main goals that we've got. The main thing is to become the vintage and retro expert, you know, the go-to wedding planner for vintage and retro weddings. So I really want brides to be in a position where they're not thinking, I want a wedding planner, who shall I use? They're thinking, I'm getting married, I have to use Wedding Esque.
You know, love that.
It's that I want people to say, you know, I would never have used a wedding planner, but I've seen Wedding Esque and I want to use them. You know, that's what's in the forefront of my mind.
Wonderful.
And the other thing is doing some work with the charity that we support, Wish Upon a Wedding. I'm a really strong supporter of theirs. They, it's a charitable organisation that grant wishes to seriously or terminally ill couples, and the vendors in the area for that chapter get together and they donate their services and donate products so that the couple can have a wedding. And it's a beautiful charity, and it's one that we support, and I would like to get more involved in it because they are hoping to branch out into other countries, so hopefully they'll come here. So it's really those two things, I guess, you know, the charity and building the business from the niche point of view. Mm.
Wonderful. Those are excellent goals. And it's good to set goals, even weekly goals, monthly goals, and definitely annual goals. And, you know, I'm looking at the time, and we're in May, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I am so far behind. But you just have to keep going baby steps and try to do something. I have no choice. I have to do something every day for my business. But, you know, towards that goal, you've got to keep striving for that. And I like to be, for me, I want someone else to know what my goals are so that I can be accountable. And I do have a buddy of mine who kind of says, you know, I thought you said you wanted to do this by such and such a date. And for me, that's what I need. You may not need that, but I find it helpful to have someone else to be accountable to. Almost like if you're doing the workout or exercise thing and, you know, you've got to go running tonight because Jane's waiting for you, so you can't back out of that. So kind of the same, you know, the same sort of idea. So come up with a goal and, you know, stretch yourself. I mean, if you know that it's not hard for you to do 3 weddings this year, then set the goal from maybe 7 to 10 or something like that, just so that you can push for it and let someone else know what that goal is. They say write it down, and I think it does help to write your goals down, because they say a goal without being written down is a dream or something like that. So, and attainable. You want to set a benchmark, excuse me. You want to set a time frame as to when you hope to attain that goal. So something to think about, okay? I see we have someone on the switchboard that has a question. So, you know, God help me if I can do this without disconnecting Rebecca. So hold on. I think I can do that with you on the air. 1 second. I'm coming to the person whose last 3 digits on the phone end in 171. Okay? Hold on. Hi there. This is Debbie with Rebecca. Who's this?
Hi, Debbie. This is Rita.
Hi, Rita. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great. Why do you have a question?
Pardon?
I'm sorry. Rebecca, I keep forgetting. I think it's a one-woman show. Rebecca is also on the line. She was saying hello. Yeah, I apologize.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Rita.
Yes, I was, Debbie, I was just wondering if you could ask the question that I had asked you earlier as far as trying to, you answered some of it, but more in depth about getting clients.
Oh, okay, Rita, let me see. I know you sent your question in earlier today.
Yes, I started to specialize in just doing venue design and decorating, and I want to know how do I focus on getting those clients when they're at the stage of planning their ceremony site and their venue.
What is your specialty, Rita, again, please tell us?
I'm a venue, wedding ceremony and venue theme designer. I help people design their themes so that their wedding will really reflect that theme, and their guests, when they walk in to the venue, they'll know exactly what that theme is.
Okay. So that sounds, so you're doing the decor side of things, is that accurate to say?
Yes,
the design,
yes.
And decor?
I help them plan it, I help them design it, and then I do the decorating.
Oh, okay. So you're the hands-on person too. So do you help them, and I just want to make sure I get a full understanding, Rita, so you help them come up with the concept, or does it come to you with a concept already in mind, or a bit of both?
A bit of both.
Okay. All right. I think that's a great niche. Rebecca, do you want to tackle that one, or what do you think?
I guess my first thought would be building a strategic alliance with another wedding planner, you know, a logistical planner, Because I guess, speaking from my experience, in fact, one of my mentors, she's actually now specializing in wedding design. And you know, I've contacted her a couple of days ago because I have a client, I'm doing a retro wedding for a client, and you know, I need some assistance with the ceremony design and the reception design because that's Christie's niche, it's her specialty. So I guess, my initial thought would be building an alliance with one or more wedding planners in the area.
That's
okay.
A great idea.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense, Rita.
Yes, it does. I have talked to a couple of them, but the ones that I talked to weren't really, they were just planning four weddings. They weren't doing exactly what I do, so it wasn't too beneficial. But because I also do silk floral arrangements, and I'm really interested in learning how to do, like, big floral displays and floral sculpturing.
Oh, okay. And that ties in with your design, so that makes sense.
Yes.
So if somebody comes to you, Rita, and says, we need help with planning a wedding, so the logistical side of things, they need help with planning a wedding, they're busy, and not the design, do you turn them away, or do you try to do that also?
Up until now, that's basically what I've been doing. I've been doing floor planning, but that's getting a little difficult for me right now. I just want to really specialize because I really enjoy the decorating end of it.
Okay. And, you know, that's the hard thing for us. I think a lot of us come in, and I've mentioned this before, we come in doing the whole thing with weddings, and I think that's a good thing to do. But that's how we can find out what we love and what we don't care for so much. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I would suggest maybe just forgetting the logistical part of weddings for right now and focusing on the design. And by doing that, you're truly, I think, out on a limb because a lot of us don't want to let part of it go because we think we're going to lose business. But what will happen is by focusing on the design, that truly becomes your specialty. It's not just something you're saying. It's something that you're living and practicing. And I can almost, I'd be willing to bet money, maybe as much as a dollar, that once you do that, the wedding planners that maybe weren't so warm and friendly may become more so. Because now if they're focusing on full service and your specialty is truly design and decor and you say you want to get more experience on doing the floral arrangements and the sculpture and so forth, I have a feeling they'll be more likely to send business your way because you're not competing for the same type of clients anymore.
Okay.
Do you get what
and
I mean? Because you said, I mean, if it's getting to be too much, then I would say kind of just put that on pause. If you don't want to get rid of it, just put that on hold for a while and focus on the design and really zone into that area. You know, decide if you want to get props, if you want to get linens and things like that, or if it's just, I mean, you decide how in-depth you want to go with that. But I would seriously consider just focusing on that area and letting planners know that if a bride comes to me and needs help full-service planning, I want to be able to send her your way. And as soon as you start doing that and reacting in that way, I think you will see that they will reciprocate, that brides who are coming to them or people that are planning events that want help with the design, assuming that they've seen your designs and are in tune with that, I have a feeling they'll be more likely to send clients your way. How does that sound?
Okay. Thank you.
Also, does that make sense to you, Rita?
Yes, and I'm thinking about limiting myself to brides with a budget of $25,000 or more, but how do I tell people that?
Well, the style of your designs, that would be evident. I mean, a lot of times when people can see what it is that you're doing, they kind of get an idea of what it is, the budget that you're working with, but then your vendors and those same planners will be the people that will be able to advocate that. Because once you set yourself in a certain area, when you decide to say that this is my specialty and this is my area, I mean, if you're saying the budget has to be a minimum of $25,000, then that kind of puts you in the high end. If that's the minimum. So then you position yourself as a high-end designer, and that's fine.
Yes.
And once you position yourself as such, then those are the people that you're, and you position yourself, and your vendors know it, and your website should speak that, your marketing material should speak that. So it, the two should match. And once
okay.
you position yourself as such and make that decision, then I think you'll find that people, that will begin to speak for itself. Do you get
okay.
what I mean?
Yes.
So don't be afraid to specialize, and if that's the direction you want to go, make a commitment to do that and start working towards that and let your vendors and your prospects and all those around you know that that's the route you want to take. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for calling in, Rita.
Okay.
Take care.
And you both have a happy Mother's Day, by the way.
Oh.
That's thank you. Great. I wish you the same. Are you a mother also?
Yes, I am.
I wish you the same, Rita.
You too. That's
okay.
Awful.
Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Well, we have come close to the hour, and I can see my switchboard saying seconds. I don't think it's going to cut me off, but I'm fearful that it will. But I wanted to tell you all thank you so much for being here. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining me and helping me out this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Debbie, and thanks everyone. I've had such a fun time when we finally got there.
I know, right, with all the technical hitches for those of you that came in late. It was a debacle, as usual.
Yeah.
But it was, please check out.
You're
welcome. Rebecca's website is weddingesque.com, weddingesque.com.au, and that's in the chat room. Thank you all for being here. Love and success. Go out there and make lots of money. Take care. Good night.